marriage has a nature that the government merely recognizes and regulates. We don't create it out of whole cloth. I actually think that that's a proposition with which the left would agree, and we just disagree on what that nature is, and that the nature of marriage, at least in terms of the government's involvement with it, is connected to reproductive potential. Doesn't mean that the government has any interest in compelling procreation or ascertaining fertility, but that's the reason the government is involved. The government has never historically been involved in order to affirm loving feelings between two people, heterosexual or certainly homosexual. And so this is actually the most radical shift in the definition of marriage cross-culturally, historically, ever. In fact, it would be less radical to legalize plural unions than it would be to recognize same-sex unions as marriage.
Well, there are people who view this as a religious issue as well. They say that their interpretation of the Bible says this is not acceptable, but you don't view it on a religious ground as much.
Well, the arguments for retaining the traditional criteria defining marriage, the legal definition of marriage, there's both secular and religious arguments. And one of the problems is the left has largely persuaded Americans that on this issue, well, maybe a couple of others, but on this issue, their religious beliefs, if they shape their political decisions, they have violated the separation of church and state. Of course, they don't apply that consistently. So they don't say those people on the left who, for instance, attend churches that affirm what's called gay theology, that those people have no right to allow their religious beliefs to shape their political decisions. To engage in that discussion becomes a larger discussion about what is the separation of church and state, what does the First Amendment mean, and that's cumbersome and usually, you know, we don't have the time to do that in radio interviews or something. So I personally believe that there is a God, he created the universe, and he established marriage. But my reasons for my argument in favor of retaining sexual complementarity in the legal definition of marriage are secular and logical. It's not that plural unions are possible if this bill passes. It's they're inevitable. And polyamorous groups, and actually a lot of homosexual activists, are open about saying they think plural unions should be legalized.
You're basically making a link saying that if this passes, and correct me if I'm wrong, that polygamy really is inevitable in Illinois?
Oh, I wouldn't say just polygamy, because that means many wives. I would say plural unions are inevitable. And in fact, it's really interesting because there is someone who serves on the EEOC. She was a recess appointment by Barack Obama. Her name is Kai Feldblum. She's a lesbian, and she was a Georgetown University law professor. And she signed a document. People can read it. I think it's called Beyond Marriage. And in it, she argues, and many other scholars argue for the legalization of plural unions. So this is coming. The arguments used by leftists in Illinois and across the country to legalize same-sex marriage will be used because there is a huge and growing polyamory movement. I think it was Time Magazine did a big story on it last year, and they are watching this, and the reason people don't know about it is because they're not going to their websites and reading about it. If they did, they would know that this is on the horizon, but the logic demands it. If you say marriage is solely about who loves whom and the government has no right to be in our bedrooms and has no right to decide who can love whom, then how does that logic not inevitably result in the legalization of plural unions for those who love multiple people?
Lori Higgins holds the title of cultural analyst with the Illinois Family Institute, and we're talking about same-sex marriage might come for a vote this week in the Illinois General Assembly. there are Republicans who have favored this. In fact, some were at rallies that have taken place here recently, including the state controller, Judy Bartopinka. The former GOP party chair in the state, Pat Brady, had come out in favor of this idea. And both of them have said something that they say is the conservative position. They say, you know, why should government tell two consenting adults that they can't get married, two people who have feelings for each other? They say that is the conservative viewpoint, but you don't agree?
No, well, I mean, there's a lot to answer in there. You can make the same argument, and polyamorous do. Why should the government tell five people who love each other that they have no right to marry? So the argument is right there. And the left responds to that by saying, well, that's just different. Well, that's not an argument. That's an assertion, and it needs evidence and logic and reasons to defend. Second, the Republicans who've come out in favor of it, I should point out, before I forget this, in France they had a huge protest against the legalization of same-sex marriage. There were many, not just people on the left, but homosexuals opposing legalization of that because they recognize that marriage is something. It has a nature. We're not creating it out of whole cloth. So I would say the people on the right and the left are simply in error, and they haven't thought through at any deep level the logic and consistency of their arguments. But also, I want to get to some of the reasons, because this is, you know, people will often make the argument that, oh, the tide of history is moving in this direction. I would say, you know, that's true. But of course, the tide of history, as we should know if we know history, doesn't always move in the direction of truth or morality or ethics. And so the fact that you have huge numbers of people switching positions is sort of, you know, meaningless in terms of truth. But then we need to look at why is this dramatic cultural shift? And it has been dramatic. And here are the reasons that I would argue. One, you have Hollywood, who are our storytellers, our myth makers, captured by the left. And the oppression in Hollywood for people who have conservative views is intense. Number two, you have the public schools have been captured by leftists. And I know from having come out of a public school on the North Shore of Chicago, I worked at Deerfield High School, and that was where all four of my children attended until 2008, that and this is not just on the issue of homosexuality, the academia is captured by the left. And as much as they say they value diversity and honor all voices and foster critical thinking, none of those are true.
You put together a rally that took place at the Illinois Capitol a couple of weeks ago. Some of the things that were discussed and mentioned during that rally, saying that people who were in favor of same-sex marriage or would participate in it were, you know, were diseased. There were a lot of different ideas that were thrown out there. The group, the Southern Poverty Law Center, has gone as far as to call your group and some others hate groups regarding this issue. Your response to that, because it seems like in some ways we're talking on one level, and yet what I heard coming from that rally might have been a little bit different.
Just a couple of really important points you brought up. One, at a rally, you have all sorts of people. We don't pick and choose who attends or what they say, because people are coming from other, you know, they hear about the rally and they come and they have their beliefs about marriage. Similarly, I would say that if the Human Rights Campaign organized a rally or Equality Illinois, they perhaps might not support some of the things that are said to me or IFI that are so ugly and so foul and threatening. If you can think of the worst thing that women are called, I've been called it. I have had threats against my life, and so I'm not holding Human Rights Campaign responsible for the ugly and hateful and threatening things that are said by people on the fringe. I find it comical, personally, anything that the Southern Poverty Law Center says, because it is so devoid of any kind of ethical compass anymore. When I first came on board IFI, I was told that the Southern Poverty Law Center had listed us as a hate group. So I called the Southern Poverty Law Center. I've talked to Mark Potok, who is the director of that project, and asked him and Heidi Byrick why we were on the group. And they said we had just been listed on the group as a result of a one-paragraph article that had been posted by us in 2005 by someone that they don't like. This is before I came on board, so this is all new to me. So I said to them, so this doesn't have anything to do with our moral convictions about it. And they said, oh, no, 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 no. And I said, so if we take that down, you'll take us off the hate groups list. And they said, yes. So I took it down. Just, it was old, and this particular author had written some things that he has since rejected, but I'm still not comfortable with it. So I took that down. They took us off the hate groups list. Within a year, they had us back on the hate groups list. And what they had done is establish criteria, and I've written all about that, very sketchy criteria. I took all of them, and I have sort of critiqued all of their criteria. And it was really criteria to enable them to put groups like Family Research Council and us on their hate groups list. What they really hate is that we have moral beliefs about what constitutes moral sexual actions, what determines what marriage is, and things like that.